Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
First Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read from verse 1. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual but as worldly. Sorry, I'm not taking time to let you turn there this morning. I'm just going to start reading for the sake of time. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. I cannot address you as spiritual but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says... This is how they're acting worldly now. He's going to say why he's writing this. He says, one of you will say, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Now, Paul's writing this. He's saying, why are you arguing about who you're following? Jesus is the one who saves. It's not whose ministry you sat under. And that you need to glory in it or brag about it as if one of them is greater than another. It's not about dropping names. It's not about dropping the name of the one who discipled you. Because let's face it, without the Holy Spirit, there is no discipleship. True. Only servants... Apollos and Paul, he says, only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've got a task. Says, has he assigned to each person a task? Apollos and Paul, they were just doing, answering the call. They were servants, as Paul writes. And then he says this, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God's the one that makes it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. In other words, we do the task, but because we do the task, it doesn't mean there's some greatness about us. It's not like being the little kid at the school program and you had a little solo or something. Okay? And then you sang it and then you looked at your parents. See me? It was amazing in kindergarten. Sunnyside School, if you remember that, had Mrs. Savaglio. Most people called her Savaglio, but they weren't Italian people. They didn't get the name right. Mrs. Savaglio. And so we had this concert day where kids played blocks and clawing the cymbal and all that kind of stuff. She picked me to be the conductor. As you know now, Mr. Music himself. So they all stood here, and the parents got behind, and I had my back to the parents, and she gave me the baton. Yeah, Mr. Music. Whatever that stick was, I had in my hand. A stick. And stood there. And did this. Didn't know what I was doing. That's okay, they didn't know what they were playing. And they just all made their noise, and I did this, and I'm turning around, looking for my mother. Bragging about what you were doing. Did you see me? This is what's going on in the church. Is saying, hey, I followed Apollos. I followed Paul. Look who I was with. Look what I have done. Paul says, you're worldly. Listen, do your task. But only God makes good on it. You can do the task without the breath of his spirit and it will be nothing. He says, listen, God's the one that makes it grow. I planted, Apollos watered it, but God makes it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God is something who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. Say it, fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. He who plants and he who waters... God gives the increase. God makes things grow. I want you to think for a moment the people along the way who have contributed to your life, that you are where you are. People of God's grace, people of mercy, people who showed you an act of kindness. Maybe they're not even a believer. But through that act of kindness, God was still moving and drawing you and leading you and calling out to you and protecting you and preserving you. You think, oh, that's not my life. Things have gone so bad. I've been victimized. I've been this. I've been that. I've been whatever. Don't think for one moment he's not faithful. And don't worry about he who can harm the body. Right? Jesus says, don't worry about he who harms the body. Fear the one who can send us into eternal damnation because of our choice to resist God. Fear him. Reverence him. He pours out grace and mercy. He does the protecting. He can do the redeeming. That which has been stole from you, he can turn around. He knows how to take dark and turn it to light. He is the light. He shines. Darkness retreats. Listen, the people who've contributed to our life. I want you to listen to a story this morning. Our brother Spencer. Spencer Cleary. Spencer, how long have you been coming to this church now? Come on up here.
About a year.
This guy's been coming to church here for about a year. And married this wonderful woman, Kelly Wigdahl Cleary. I like her last name now.
Thank you.
Yeah. I asked Spencer to come. Tell you a little story. Now keep this in mind. It's about people who've planted and watered into his life, our lives, along the way. Go ahead, bud.
Thank you. Thank you. Can everybody hear me? Good morning, friends. My name is Spencer. I've been coming here for about a year with my wife, beautiful wife, Kelly. Pastor Andy asked me to describe a little bit or give a little testimony of how I became to know Christ and a little before Christ and how what he's done in my life. I was raised in Holman, Wisconsin. It was a non-Christian home. My parents didn't go to church. We didn't have any background in Christ, but they always seemed to quote Proverbs with the Board of Education, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But they knew that one. growing up, like I said, we never went to church. Never knew much of anything. As I became a teenager, you know, some of us, we get in our teenage years, we know everything and no one can tell us anything. I was one of those guys. I got into a lot of trouble. My parents and I didn't get along very well. My father and I, we didn't get along. I worked at a very young age. I started working when I was 12 on a farm outside of Holman, Wisconsin. And the people that I worked for, they weren't Christians either, but God used those people. In a way, I mean, at the time, I had no clue. Looking back now, it was a significant time in my life. I would go out there every weekend during the week. We'd hay, we'd milk cows, do all the things that farmers do. But I was hanging out with the crowd at school that influenced me. You know, you hang around the barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. as I was hanging out, you know, I started drinking and doing things that, you know, teenagers and stuff, what I thought was normal, but we'd get into trouble, and I had a few run-ins with the law. One night, a couple buddies of mine, And I decided, well, we're going to go to Florida. Well, how are we going to get to Florida? Well, I don't know. And after a few more beers or whatever, we thought, well, I know where we can get a truck. Well, the people that were employing me and guiding me on the farm, I decided that we're going to use their truck to get to Florida. Well, I forgot to ask them, we'll say. So we took their truck to Florida. No plan, no money, no gas, nothing. And we made it to Tampa, Florida. Got lost in Tampa, Florida, in a neighborhood that I don't ever want to see again, to be honest. And then we hitchhiked across country to Alabama, where I decided I wanted to go home. And at that time, they had a program through Greyhound. Runaways get a free bus ticket. Well, I got home, and when I got off the Greyhound, I was met by the police. I was 17 years old. I was put in handcuffs and taken to jail for stealing this truck. I sat in jail for quite a while, maybe a month, and a guy came and said, "We found a place for you." And I didn't really ask, I was nervous. The place they took me, sorry, the very people that I stole from and hurt, who went through classes, went through a lot, and became my foster parents. They took me in, they forgave me, and they raised me. I stayed there for about 5 years. But God used them. A couple years went by, and I was still on the farm. And I decided that the dog and I were going to go for a ride. Well, along my ride, I decided I was going to stop at a few bars and have some drinks. I spent the whole day drinking and driving and drinking and driving. And on the way home, I hit a telephone pole in a 79 Chrysler Cordova doing about 60. I woke up in the hospital, and I found out that the dog, Benny, is an Australian Shepherd. We were probably about 5 miles from home where this happened. And we were coming from a totally different direction. The Holman police officer at the time, Gail Ross, we got to know each other through the years, through my adventures. He came and visited me, and he told me a little story about the dog. The dog wouldn't let no one near the car. It was biting everybody that came anywhere near the car. I was charged, I can't remember how much I was charged, but I was charged for 5 bullets. They didn't shoot the dog, but they had to shoot shots in the air to get the dog away from the car so they could get to me. And lo and behold, the dog made it home somehow. But I believe truly that God's hand was in that car accident. I suffered some severe injuries, and I'm still here. And life went on. I felt like I was in control. I didn't need anybody. I had relatives, friends who talked to me about Jesus and the Bible, and I listened, but I never took action of any kind. Then about Well, I know the exact day it happened. It was December of 2002. A friend I used to run around in high school, about 15 years, I hadn't seen him, showed up at my door. And he's in a suit, tie, just looking great. And, oh, it's party time. Well, he sat me down and we had a talk. And I listened to him. And he introduced me to God. He introduced me to Jesus. We studied together for weeks, for months. But as we studied, I would read and study on my own. And I learned truths that, you know, I disagreed with him on some stuff. And learned some truths. And we kind of went our separate ways. He is a very good man, and God used him. You know, he's from a different denomination, but even, you know, like the pastor said, God uses anyone, unbeliever, people we never expect. I hadn't seen this man in 15 years. We used to get in trouble together, and he just showed up at my door, you know, and I truly believe that God had sent him that day in his time to plant a seed. It inspired me, and I got hungry. I was hungry for the Word. For the next 8 years, all I did was study. I worked, I studied. But as I found out, I became very knowledgeable, but I had no relationship. I knew a lot about the Bible. I could argue with you. I could do whatever you wanted. I could, but I had no relationship with Christ. I had accepted Christ. I knew he was my Lord and Savior. I knew he died on the cross for me. Don't know why. Why me of all people? But it wasn't until a few years ago where I started having a relationship. I prayed. I gave up. I wasn't in control anymore. No matter what I wanted to do or how hard I tried to do it myself, it wasn't. I could flow through life just fine. But without him, there was nothing. It was empty. So I started a personal relationship with God. Until then, it was nothing. The changes in my life since then, what God has blessed me with, my beautiful wife. And you know, the ways God used her has inspired me to be a better man, a better son, a better father, a better friend. I live my life by Proverbs. There are 31 Proverbs. Some months have 31 days, but I read a Proverbs a day every morning, and I take that to heart, and those are the lessons that I live by. And Matthew 6, 33 and 34 are my favorite scriptures. It's, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I remember every morning I wake up, "Today, Lord, what can I do today? If I take on too much, if I start worrying about too much in the future, my relationship with Christ gets less and less. I put too much. I put it on him, and it's for today. What do I need to do today? Yes, you plan for the future, you do this, but everything is for today. Because you don't know if we have tomorrow. You don't. So it's today with Christ." This church, pastor, all the friends that we've had in the last year, it's been amazing. God has blessed us so much. He has blessed me, my wife, our children, all of us so much. And I am so, so very grateful. So I thank God every day for every little thing that I have in my life. Even the troubles, I thank Him for. And I give Him all the glory for everything. Friends, walk in love, walk in peace. Thank you.
If you guys need to go, you can.
No, you can't do it from there.
Okay.
People along the way that planted and watered, and you can see the flavor of the man that lives before you, spoke before you, and Spencer. My daughter Jessica came in the end of this last week, came into the room where I was at, and she said she was kind of catching me up on what was going on the last couple of days because I was out of town. And she said, "And Dad, one of the things is I was with another young adult from our church, and we felt led to go into KFC, not for the same reasons that I feel led to go into KFC, but to stop there. And they had an invite to kind of like the insert in your bulletin about this young adult event. They just felt led to go in there. They go in there and they see a worker who is distraught and busy and all this stuff is going on. And they go up to talk to her and just say, "Hey, listen, want to invite you to this." They just felt led to go into KFC. They saw this gal they did not know and just said, "Hey, can you come to this?" And as they're approaching to say, "Come to this," the girl says to... this young adult girl says to my daughter, and I think it was Jenna who was with her, said, "Listen, could you tell your dad thank you? I've never had the chance to tell him." And she's like, "My dad? You know my dad?" "Yeah, Pastor Randy." She said, "Yeah." She said, "Yeah, one day I was in line at Subway with my little brother, and he was in line. We just chit-chatted a little bit. It's the only time I ever saw the gal that I know of. As I went up, I was actually in front of them in line. I just kind of do, you know, what some of you do. Don't tell them I want to pay for their meal." So I just paid for it and walked away and said, "Have a nice day," and left. I didn't tell this gal I was a pastor or anything like that. She says, "I never had the chance to tell your dad thanks for doing that." I'm not telling you for that, but because it's... And as she told me, I went, "Oh, wait a minute, I think I remember them." You know, because I had forgotten about it. That is not an uncommon act or thing that I do from time to time. And so did this and left. And I said, "Jessica, I think I remember that." Well, at the point I was saying that, my son Brock walks into the room. Kind of like... "Hey, yeah, what's going on?" I said, "Well, Jessica was just telling me a story." Jessica begins to tell the story. And at that point, she says, "Oh, and by the way, I'm supposed to tell you, Brock, hello from this girl. She knew you from high school." He's like, "Who is it?" And Jessica couldn't quite remember the name. He came up with the name. He said, "Oh, yeah, these are three gals that kind of, one had a locker by him, and he used to talk to him and make him laugh. Imagine that." And so... One girl was in one of his classes, and she used to give him a hard time, and he'd give it back, and, you know, they were just kind of friends that way. So here is this, unbeknownst to any of us. I would say that the Holy Ghost is chasing this young gal. "I just paid for a lunch and was friendly and left. Did it unto the Lord. Didn't think much about it. Just doing the task, right?" Jessica and Jenna, they're just doing the task. We didn't know that Brock was actually the first one to meet this gal till he came into the story later. Who plants, who waters? God gives the increase. We're just supposed to do the task. I got to tell you a story. I don't know what time it is. Don't tell me. I know it's late. Thank you. I actually went bow hunting yesterday morning. Got up in my stand. Got there a little after daylight because I chose not to get up right when my alarm went off. I waited an extra 20 minutes, you know. I got out there. It was just shortly after daylight. Got up in my stand, had everything up there, waited about 20 minutes, And I decided, you know, these bucks got to start moving sometime. Now, those of you who don't know much about bow hunting, just kind of, you can skip this part, you'll kind of piece it together. I'm in my stand, and I decide to, this is the time of year, by the way, that bucks fight each other because they want all the girls. Okay, enough said. So, they kind of call it pre-rut and moving into the rut, and rut is when they mate and make Bambi. All right, so I'm in my stand, and I decided to take and rattle. It sounds like bucks fighting. So I crash, rattle, rattle, grind, wait, rattle, rattle, grind a little bit, slide them off, crash, rattle, rattle, rattle. Hang them on the tree. And all of a sudden I hear it back over my right shoulder. Crash, crash, snap, snap, and I thought, here he comes. By the way, Tony and Phil, happy anniversary this week. So I hear crash, snap, snap, and then it stops, and then I can hear some walking, and then it goes dead silent. So I decide to speak the language. I buck grunt to him. I wait about 15 seconds, and I grunt again. 3 seconds later, he grunts back.
Yes.
We're talking. I can hear him coming. He's not running in, but he's walking at a good clip, snap, snap, and I'm looking through all the branches I got covered up on this side. Because I can't shoot this direction. Smart buck. He's coming. This has to do with the message, by the way. And I'm saying, you know, I sure hope he's a shooter. I'm not looking to shoot a little spike. I'm looking to shoot something decent. And I can see the body kind of coming. I'm thinking, good. Oh, he's got antlers. Couldn't see him all. Just, oh, he's got antlers. Not like, you know, little spiker. He gets about 20 yards away, and I go, oh, he's a shooter. Okay, now if you are animal rights activists, don't worry. The story will have a happy ending for you. So I grab the bow. Now on the string, you have this mechanical release. It snaps onto this little loop on your string so you save on your fingers, and you hold the rest in your hand and it's strapped around your wrist, and the kind that I have kind of goes through a loop and then it Velcros back, and so I've got it. And so it's coming. April, you'll appreciate the story. He's coming, and I get the release ready and get it through the loop. Amos, you're liking this right now. And so I'm getting turned and I'm getting ready. Well, he's coming, but he's coming towards me. And then I get a good glimpse of his rack. And by the way, I wasn't nervous or anything like that. I was just like, well, this is, I really wasn't. I was like, hey, this, you know, Lord, let this turn out good. That was my quick prayer. I see him. I mean, I'm just telling you, he was only an 8-point, but he was probably about a 150. For an 8-point. I mean, he was a nice buck. Pretty wide, caramel colored, real tall tines. They had a little twist in it, a little. Yeah, we were up close and personal. So I can see him. So I'm getting ready. He comes out at like 5 yards. Well, I'm 20 feet in a tree. So 5 yards away from my tree is like looking kind of like almost straight down. Okay? Well, I am not going to take him there. I'm going to let him continue his travel, and hopefully he's going to come to one of my shooting lanes that I worked hard to prepare for all of this. And, I mean, things, it's textbook. It's rattle, do it right, grunt, get him coming, you know. He's coming. Well, I want to make sure that when I decide to pull this string back that the mechanical release is attached good to the string. So I just wanted to snug it up. I wasn't drawn back yet. I was waiting until he was getting over here. And then, but we never got to there. So I snugged up the release, and yesterday morning, early in the morning, where I was at, it was completely still. There was no wind. It was still. I mean, you stand up, you can hear your soft clothing move. Okay? I'm already in place. He walks out 5 yards from me. Okay? And I want to snug up my release, make sure it's on good so I don't pull it back and go fling. The stuff goes everywhere except where it's supposed to. So I just snugged it up. And there was that Velcro. Thank you. You feel my pain. I mean, he was a handsome. I can see him now. I can see him. He just walked out. The Velcro made a little noise. I snugged it up against the edge of my coat cuff. That was it. Like this loud. He swung his head. Let me do it like he did. It wasn't swing up, pause, take a look, what are you? Lair, let me stretch out a little more. There was none of that. He did not pause. He swung his head up, and then he was gone. I didn't move. I didn't make any noise other than stupid Velcro. If you wear them on your sneakers, that's fine, but not on a release. So I see him bound off about 20 yards, and I'm then watching him when he does his big strut. You ever see him when they take those slow steps, and they're just high-stepping, and his head's high, and he's like... And he just... And I just went, he is magnificent. Stupid Velcro. Man, he was beautiful. And he was. I waited for him to get a little out of sight completely. And then I took the little horns and just kind of tickled him. See, maybe he'll come back. Because he just kind of looked at me. He knew where I was at. He didn't know what I was. It was not like I said, it's me, you know. I was still, but he just, if I would have been a little breeze... You'd be seeing a picture up there today of me and him. But he didn't go away. And I turn around, and a few minutes later, here comes this little spike buck. it's like, yeah. I was telling Gene True this story this morning. I felt a little bad. Because during pre-service prayers, when I saw him and I told that story much quicker, and he said, you know, traditionally, you have about a 3 to 5 second window to take him. I mean, you might see him out further, but the moment you have to take him is about 3 to 5 seconds. And he was so spiritual, unlike me, during prayer this morning, that I had, and I felt a little bad, but I was like, I feel like I got to tell him the story, because I could tell him anytime. And he came back with this. Tell the insight. Because it has nothing to do with deer hunting. It has to do with this message.
Well, what I shared with Pastor Andy was that if you're a bow hunter, you're an avid bow hunter, there's a lot of preparation that goes into that hunt. Food plots, equipment.
I hunt public land.
Yeah. A lot of practice. Hanging your stands, getting your shooting lane, checking the wind. I mean, you put a ton of time in and a lot of energy. And probably not as much as April and Brad, but surprised you're still married even.
She's a good woman.
But what it comes down to is literally a season and hours, weeks, days of preparation for maybe a 3 to 5 second window of opportunity. And I know that from experience in hunting, you're going to make an impact. Everything's got to be just right. And your preparation, your window of opportunity is really, really small. You know, I've messed those up hunting. It makes a better hunter out of you. But what I shared with Pastor Andy is that principle I have to apply to my life. And whether it's at work, it's at the gas pump, or where it is, we don't take that 3 to 5 second window of opportunity that we should with people.
Bingo.
And just, maybe it's just a good morning, how you doing? You know, just try to break through and enter into their life and make a little impact. And sometimes that grows into bigger opportunities. But I know at work, there was a young man that I did that to, and I heard back from his family. And I had no idea. But, yeah, it's really about taking all that you equip yourself with and prepare and applying it to have that impact.
It's about planting.
Thank you.
Can we take a 3 to 5 second window and plant something? Water something? We don't know who else in their life, like the Subway sandwich story, that somebody else has contributed or met them. The goal here is to be about our task and allow people to have a good experience with us. Buying the sandwich for the people who were in Subway, they could afford it. They were there already ordering. It wasn't some complex plan. It was just doing something. Doing a task, taking a window, taking an opportunity, just out in public. Evangelism and winning people, you may not share the gospel in the first encounter, but the 3 to 5 second window we take to give somebody a good opportunity, we plant something, we water something. He's the one that has to give the increase. But if we in this community, in this area, will take opportunities that can sometimes grow into a larger opportunity, let me ask, where have you watered this week? Where have you planted this week? Or are we too busy? Or are we just too wrapped up in whatever? We love to hear the story, like Spencer's, where he was, where God brought him to, the people who affected his life. Here's the thing. When I hear that story and I ask him to specifically include when he stole the truck and they took him back in. We love to hear that story and we admire the people. But here's the reality. We like to celebrate the story, but we don't want to be the one in the story who had our vehicle stolen. We love to hear the story, but we don't want the headaches. Think about it. Do you know how much of a headache you really are to Jesus? I mean, I can't find scripture and verse. I just know that, you know, I've given him a few. But he's loving and he's gracious and merciful. He's still with the truth. He's all about discipline. But he's moving us along to bring us a revelation of who he is. And we have a task that has been appointed to us, like Paul wrote. People watered and planted into Spencer's life. God gave the increase. Look at the man that's before us. There's a girl out there who still needs watering, planting. I bought her a sandwich. Somebody handed her a promotional brochure. Another kid gave them a good experience, her and a couple of her friends, just by laughing and being together and having a good time. They had a good experience with a Christian. We did not know that we had contact with this gal. I had no idea that she knew who I was. Jesse had no idea that, how could she know that that's my dad? It came out, she said, I went to your church a couple of times. I don't remember seeing him here. It's about having a good experience. Part of evangelism is people having a good experience with you. Imagine that. Because in that moment, you plant and you water. We have a 3 to 5 second window. Gene, what a great insight into our life through bow hunting. God can use it all. Use all the things in our life to speak to us. So who have you watered? Who have you planted? Who are you willing to open up to and give an opportunity to plant and water? I don't want the headaches. What if they steal from me? Well, then you get the great opportunity to forgive. And besides, whatever they stole is not yours. If you're a Christian, it belongs to God. We're supposed to manage it and be a good steward of it. But you know what? It's not the first time he's been stolen from. And if it turns into an opportunity of forgiveness and grace and mercy and taking them in afterwards, then we've planted and we've watered and we're the living church. But if we don't plant and we don't water, there will be no crop. You ask any farmer, planting and watering is work. It's work. It's not complex. It's not, you know, rocket science. You don't have to be a physicist. You just got to be a person who will take the windows of opportunity to give someone a good experience with you where it can lead to planting and watering that God can give the increase. I've had people tell me in this community, I'm going to come over and visit your church. Here's the thing. I never invited them. No, wait. Some people I invite. Do you know why they came up with that? I mean, they finally knew who I was, and I was a pastor in town, and we talked. You know what it was? They've seen me on 2 or 3 occasions, and you know what? They just had a good experience and had fun. I didn't even need to invite. They said, I'm coming. That's you. That's you. You give them a good experience. And you will plant and you will water and God will give an increase. And on that day, he will take pleasure because his house will be full.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.